The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
In Acts chapter 20, we have record of Paul's departure from Ephesus. This was a very sad occasion. Paul called together the elders of this congregation, a congregation that he loved dearly so, a congregation that he had grown close to over a period of 3 years. And he called these elders together, and he gave them a warning about the wolves that would shortly come to that congregation. And these wolves would bring in heresies, destructive in nature, that would rend this congregation, would tear it down. And unfortunately, Paul had this to say. He said that out of that eldership itself would come wolves. I want you to notice with me Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 32. I want you to notice Paul's admonition to these Ephesian elders. Acts 20, beginning in verse 25, he says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." There's a whole sermon in just those 8 verses. The preacher, an apostle really, was pure. Paul had preached unto them the whole counsel of God. So the falling away that was going to occur, that Paul had said would occur, was not going to be because of Paul. Paul had taught them well. They knew exactly what they needed to do to obey God, to be pleasing to God, because he had taught them everything they needed to know. Sometimes it is the preacher's fault, though. Sometimes there are preachers who will not stand for the truth of God's Word. Sometimes there are preachers who maybe will preach a lot of good things, but they'll leave certain things out because they know that those are touchy subjects. I'll give you a good example of this. Unfortunately, one of the men who was in my class at the Memphis School of Preaching is dealing with great difficulty right now because he's trying to preach the truth regarding Matthew 19. Verse 9, there are a lot of preachers that won't preach that passage. He will preach that passage, and unfortunately there are those in his congregation that have called him out on it and are trying to cause problems because of it. Sometimes it is the preacher's fault. If a preacher's not willing to preach those difficult passages, when the preacher refuses to preach the whole counsel of God, or when the preacher preaches false doctrine. Maybe the preacher preaches a lot of good things, but he only preaches certain things that are easy to preach. And he's feeding his congregation with cotton candy when they need the meat of the Word. But this preacher, Paul, was not to be blamed because he had preached the whole counsel of God. What about the eldership? in this situation. Unfortunately, we see an eldership that was not pure. An eldership that was to blame. At least this would shortly come to pass. There are several reasons for this. Paul told them to take heed unto themselves and to the flock. They needed to feed the congregation as an overseer ought to feed the congregation. Something that they evidently did not do because of these false teachers that were coming in, these ravening wolves. Paul told them to watch out for the wolves, and that some of the elders themselves would be among the wolves that would devour the flock. Paul then left this congregation to the Word of God. He says, I leave you this Word of God which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among the sanctified, those who are holy, who are set apart for the Lord's purposes, and ultimately will receive the reward in heaven. But unfortunately, this congregation was torn down because of false teachers. We know this to be the case because, number one, this congregation is nowhere to be seen today. If you were to go to this part of the world, Ephesus, you won't see this congregation that was around in the first century. We see the beginning of Ephesus' demise in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, one of those seven churches of Asia, the first one mentioned in that passage. And although they were doing some wonderful things for the Lord also said that this congregation had left their first love. The first step in the ultimate demise of that congregation. So we see that we need to gather from this passage the tremendous responsibility of elders, of overseers, shepherds. They're the ones that have to watch out for the souls of every member. That's why the Hebrews writer wrote, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Elders need to realize the importance of the office. We need to realize that on the day of judgment, those of our number who are elders will give account for those in which they oversee. And a church member must realize that we must not make this task difficult. It's a difficult task already. And if we are making it more difficult, then we'll give account for that as church members. We must be dependable. We must be reliable. We must attend faithfully the services of the Lord's church so that the elders aren't wondering where brother or sister so-and-so is. And if we're struggling with something, we need to let the elders know. Brother Tim, Brother Bill, I'm struggling with this. This sin has been on my mind, and I'm trying to get rid of it, but I'm struggling. So I need help. Well, that's what the elders are here for, to help with those things, but they have to know. Unfortunately, the church at Ephesus, both the elders and the individual members, evidently did not get the memo that Paul was trying to give them. And it cost the congregation at Ephesus. What is it that the elders need to be watching for? What are the wolves that they must be aware of? Well, the first one is obvious. False teachers. That is what we see in this context. But I want to, as an extension of this metaphor of wolves this morning, I want to offer a few other wolves that we need to be watching for as a congregation. As the elders of the congregation certainly need to be watching for these things, because there are some wolves that will come in and they will rend this congregation if we aren't careful. And then I want to give you a homework assignment. I want to give you a take-home thing to think about, because we're only going to mention a few. What are some other wolves that you can think of that could cause damage to the flock? Because there's a lot. We read about these things that rend congregations. That's a hint. What might rend something? Maybe division? So let's think about these things this morning. And of course, we want to start with the immediate context of Acts chapter 20, which is false teachers. We're going to actually talk about false teachers in more detail this afternoon when we talk about what exactly it is that motivates a false teacher. But for now, I want us to realize that the first and obvious concern of an eldership is that they have to maintain the soundness of the church by keeping out false teachers. Again, Acts 20, verses 29 and 30. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise," and what does the text say? "Speaking perverse things." And why are they doing that? To draw away disciples after them. They're speaking things that are perverse. They're speaking things that are not true. They're speaking things that are unorthodox. Things that we can readily see are contrary to the will of God, contrary to the doctrine of Christ. These men are speaking because they want others to follow them rather than Christ. Peter describes these wolves this way. In 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily," that is, under the radar, they creep in, "shall bring in damnable heresies." In other words, not just simple misunderstandings, but outright heresies, lies that lead to destruction. These aren't people that are having difficulty understanding God's Word. These are people who are twisting God's Word. They're going to bring in these damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Again, 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Contextually, Peter is comparing the fact that there were false prophets in the Old Testament to the fact that there would be false prophets in the New Testament as well. Peter is likely talking about the Gnostics of that time who denied that the Son of God came in the flesh. Why did they do that? Because they didn't understand in their mind, in their knowledge, that God could be in the flesh. And so they said, no, Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Therefore, they denied that Jesus was the Son of God. They denied the deity of Christ. So it very well could have been this group, the Gnostics, that Peter is referring to here. Both of those things, by the way, clearly contradict John 1, verses 1 and following, where we read very clearly that Jesus is God in the flesh. But the thrust of this passage certainly can apply to all manners of false teachers and their damnable heresies. We could stand here all day listing different ideas that people have come up with that are contradictory to the Scriptures. Things like once saved, always saved. Multiple paths to heaven. The prosperity gospel. And so forth. Things that we do not read about in the Bible. Peter says that these things will cause people to be condemned. Damnable heresies. But not just Paul and Peter warned about these wolves, but of course, Jesus himself also warned about them in Matthew 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." They're disguised. If a false teacher were to walk through that door right now and say, "Hey, I'd like to teach a Bible class," he's not going to come in wearing a sign that says, "False teacher, false teacher." He's going to come in with a smile on his face. He's going to try with smooth words to persuade the flock to believe his errors. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And then he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 10, verse 16, the verse that was read for us this morning, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus is saying that we have to be gentle like a dove. We don't be harsh. We don't be mean. We be gentle like a dove, but we also have to understand that we've got to be wise because those false teachers are around. And so, therefore, we must make sure to not bear with their false teaching. By the way, I want you to tell me a little bit about a wolf. How do wolves operate? Well, wolves hunt in packs. Look up a video of wolves and how do they hunt. Not a coyote, a wolf. These wolves hunt in packs. There are many of them. 1 John 4, verse 1, many false prophets are gone out into the world. But wolves are also vicious. Ezekiel 22, verse 25, the false prophets are mentioned as ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They're vicious. Finally, wolves are tenacious. In other words, they are persistent. Ephesians 4, verse 14 describes for us how we ought not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And then it says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. They're tenacious. They're waiting. They're laying in wait, waiting for their opportunity to pounce on the flock. Now, with the time that we have remaining, I want to spend some time talking about other quote-unquote wolves that we need to be aware of. I say that because these are not the wolves that we read about in this context, Acts chapter 20. But they are still dangerous nonetheless. We need to understand that the job of the elder is not just keeping out the false teachers, but also watching the congregation and feeding the congregation and watching for these sins and misplaced priorities and things in their lives that are keeping the flock from being faithful. Certainly, keeping out the false teachers is a very important part of it. But if the eldership is keeping out the false teachers, but they're forgetting some of these other things that we're going to mention, then the flock will still not survive. Furthermore, it's the job of an elder to be actively involved in the lives of the members, to know what they're struggling with. It's our job to let them know what we are struggling with and to watch out for these other wolves, if you will. I've come up with three. Again, any manner of sins and things that we deal with in life that are drawing us away from Christ is like a wolf. It's going to tear us down. I've come up with three, but of course we could list many more. And as I've said before, your homework is to go home and think about some other things that would tear the congregation, would rend it from one another. The first thing that I thought about was idleness. You ever thought about that? Idleness. How many times have you heard, idle hands are the devil's workshop? When Christians fail to be busy in the kingdom of God, that's when the sins start to creep in our lives. You ever thought about that? I'm not being busy. I'm not doing the Lord's work. And then the devil has a lot of time to tempt us to do the things that he wants us to do. And so a wise eldership will keep the congregation working. We'll understand that We all need to be working with the same mindset, the same goal, doing the things that Christ has asked us to do. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." That's true not just about a physical building, that's true about the Lord's building, the church. If we are being slothful, if we are being idle and not doing the Lord's work, then the building will decay. The building, the house will drop through because our hands are idle. We have to, therefore, remain busy in the work of the church, edification, coming together to edify one another in love, building one another up, exhorting one another. Benevolence, we mentioned that this morning. Helping those in the community as well as helping those among the faith so that hopefully others will see Christ living in us through those actions. And then, of course, evangelism, the oft-neglected Great Commission, which ought to be driving everything that we do. Idleness. What about lukewarmness? This is certainly a first cousin of idleness, because idleness leads to apathy, the mindset of I really could take it or leave it. You know, that church, I'm so thankful for that congregation, but at the same time, I'm not really going to be there. I'm not going to support the work. I have a positive mindset of the congregation, but I'm not really going to give it my all to be a faithful member of the congregation. Apathy. Apathy leads to withdrawal, neglected duties, avoiding the brethren, spotty attendance. I might be here a couple times a month, but I'm not going to make it a priority to always be here unless sickness or work or something of that nature comes up. Withdrawal leads to lukewarmness. When it comes to the church, I'm not hot and I'm not cold. I have a positive opinion of the church, but I'm not really going to live for the church, which in turn means I'm not going to live for Christ. Do you know anybody who has developed that attitude? It started with idleness, and then it worked its way to lukewarmness. It's not good. Lukewarmness is a wolf that will take control of our lives if we let it. And it's a wolf that will make Jesus so sick that he spews us out of his mouth. Revelation 3 and verse 16. We need to be praying for the fire to return. If we find ourselves lukewarm, which is so easy for us, so easy to happen to us, I get it. But if we find ourselves lukewarm, then we need to be praying that the fire, the zeal, will return. When we first came up out of that water, we thought we could conquer the world for Christ. And then time and difficulties, discouragement set in. And we said, you know what? Is this Christian life even worth living? Sometimes we wonder those things. And then maybe we'll be halfway faithful. And what I mean by that is we might be here and we might pretend, but when it comes to our day-to-day lives, we're truly not living for Christ. If that's us, then we got to pray for the fire to return. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah, the wonderful prophet, the preacher, who was preaching in the most difficult of circumstances. People had him in derision daily. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I can't do it anymore. I can't preach. These people are making fun of me. They're treating me terribly. I'm done. But his word was in mine heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The word had to come out, and I had to preach. You ever felt like that? If you feel like that, that means you're on fire for the Lord. And even if you had that discouragement, that difficulty in your life, you realize, you know what? I'm going to be faithful no matter what, because I've got the fire in me. The fire of the Lord's word. What about misplaced priorities? I think that's a wolf that we need to watch for. I think one of the major roots to a lot of Christians' problems is misplaced priorities. How many Christian priorities are set on making money? Thus, they don't give properly. They don't place too much emphasis, or they do rather place too much emphasis on work. And you know what? I really don't need to spend this time, but I really want that overtime pay, so I'm just going to not worry about attending for a while. The holidays are coming up, and I've got expensive toys I want to buy, and so I'm just going to work and work and work and work, even though I don't have to, which is understandable, but I want to because I want to buy lots of stuff. That's a misplaced priority. Godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Verse 7 and 8, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But verse 9 tells us that those who will themselves to riches, that is, their intense desire is to be rich, well, they fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. If your mind is on the dollar when it should be on the Savior, then you're going to be drowning in the foolish lust, and you're going to find yourself in perdition. How many people have sold their souls to the devil? Think about Hollywood. Well, if I can be an actor, if I can just get my lucky break and be in this particular program, and I know that program's got a lot of sinful stuff in it, but it's going to pay the bills, and I'm going to be rich. Selling their souls. And yet, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. When we place too much emphasis on the love of money, which is the root of all evil. What about attendance? Why is it that people are unfaithful in attending the services of the Lord's church? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why is it that people do not take that passage seriously? Well, not only do they not want to listen to Hebrews 10:25, but they don't want to listen to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Show me a man or a woman who has a problem with faithful attendance to the church, and you'll show me a man or a woman who has a problem with seeking first the kingdom of God. Priority problem. These are just a few of the wolves that have plagued God's people throughout the ages. These wolves are going to tear us apart if we allow them. I mentioned some homework for you. I'll give you another hint. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The wolf of fornication was in the flock. Paul said that they needed to get that sin out of the flock. There's so many wolves, if you will, that will take control if we let them. False teachers, misplaced priorities, lukewarmness, idleness, and so many more. Things that the devil will use to take our minds off of Christ and to place it on those sinful things. Because if he can get our minds placed on sinful things, then we won't be working for Christ. The church won't grow, and the devil wins. At least so he thinks. But the devil is not going to win. On that great and wonderful day of the Lord, Christ is going to return. He's going to take the faithful home. The question is, are you among the faithful? Let me ask you this morning. How is your heart this morning? If you're an elder, I hope that you pay attention to Acts chapter 20. And if you're a member of the church, I hope that you pay attention too, and I hope that you will submit yourselves to the eldership, understanding that they have the ultimate responsibility to watch for your soul. Don't take it lightly, because your soul is important. Your soul is important. Those elders' souls are important. So don't make their job more difficult than it has to be. Think about these things this morning. Have you been watching? Have you been remembering Acts 20, verse 31? Because the thing that happened to Ephesus can happen here if we're not careful. But that doesn't have to happen here. We've got a good eldership who will keep those false teachers out. We've got an eldership that understands that they need to be watching for these other wolves, if you will. We've got good members who understand that they need to be faithful. I'm so thankful for everyone. And if it be the case that we have a few who are unfaithful, I'm still thankful for you, but I hope that you'll be faithful going forward, because you will help this congregation in so many ways if you will be faithful and will live for Christ. Think about these things this morning, and if you're not a child of God, please don't delay. You need to become a child of God. The Bible tells us that those who do not obey the gospel, Jesus will come back in flaming fire, destroying those who do not obey the gospel. So please make sure that you obey the gospel while you have opportunity. How do you do that? You repent of your sins. You confess Christ. Confessing the fact that you believe that Christ is the Son of God. And having repented of those sins because you heard what you needed to do, you submit to the Lord's will by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, so that you can rise up to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, so that you can live faithfully as a member of this congregation and as a member of the Lord's kingdom. It may be the case that you've done that, but you know you haven't lived faithfully. You can change that this morning. You can decide right now that going forward, you will be faithful. When the hard things come, the discouragement, you understand that you've got an eldership that you can turn to. You can turn to God's Word. You can realize that, hey, I'm going to be faithful no matter what going forward, because I want to go to heaven. So if you need to respond to those things this morning, then please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.